Now, what do they, and what do you use as a yardstick for value on something? Say, on a piece of silver work.
Well, the only way that we could do it is think about what could I sell that for.
And what do you base that on? Commercial people that come in to bring it into Albuquerque?
Mm-hmm. Well, not our tourist trader, on ours to sell back to the other Navajos. We don't have enough to sell it commercially. We could. There's a market for it, all right. But there's just, we don't have that much. So we just sell it through the case to other Navajos and to tourists that happen along.
Don't you sort of gauge it on the person, too?
Oh, yes, because there's lots of pawn that we have in there that is good for nothing. And yet, you know, old Joe is such a good old fellow, mm-hmm. and always takes care of his credit and takes care of his sheep, and he really takes an interest in things. Why, you're giving $50 on a $20 strand of these.
Sure.
But normally you don't give the full value of it. What is it, 60% or something?
Oh.
Varies?
It varies. Just, you really have to look at the person just as hard as you do.
Sure you do.
You have to know the person, I guess, don't you? So those people that were coming into you on Saturday, when I was out there, those were all people that were familiar to you. You knew them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were there when I was working, Paul, weren't you?
I wanted to stay around, but I thought it might be kind of...
Oh, we're used to. We're used to all any old and Mormon missionaries that make a difference. Could have stayed around all day and just... You were just another one of them.
Just another Mormon missionary.
Yeah, you didn't look like a Mormon missionary with that pipe in your mouth.
Well, no, I wouldn't have, would I?
Well, he'd fit in our area. He'd just
be the kind of Mormons we are.
Are there a lot of missionaries working out that area now?
Quite a few. And Crown Point, as little as it is, has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 churches.
Now that has changed. When I was at Crown Point to teach school, there was only Van Bruggen there. Christian Reformed Mission was the only church. Mm-hmm. So I would say that religion is moving in leaps and bounds.
Oh,
it is. 20 years.
Yes. And like this one preacher, he is an MD.
Which
and he decided that he wanted to become a minister, so he works the two of them together, but he won't charge.
I wonder if he ever gets confused about where he should take his patient.
I think he has a time or two.
If they're really extreme, he's probably take. We better go to the other building tonight, folks.
Well, do you think that the Navajos are swallowing this religion, or is this like I always felt they felt about religion? They just joined whichever church was handy with tongue in cheek.
Take what's convenient.
Yeah, and whichever one's given up the most at the time.
Yeah, just whatever's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I know one or two that I really feel is sincere
mm-hmm.
and really believe.
Christianity as we understand.
But it's out of all the people, Bill and I were talking about it the other day, and we could only pick out two out of all Navajos that we know that we feel have truly dropped their old ways and taken up Christianity.
I'd like to see those two.
What about the Catholics?
Oh, they're pretty strong.
Are they pretty strong?
They always have been pretty strong.
Of course, they came in ahead of everybody else, too.
And they built schools.
And they built schools, and they built hospitals, and they did a lot of things. And I give the Catholics a lot of credit.
They wrote the alphabet, too, you know, Catholic.
The first...
Yeah.
First one.
Howard was telling us about that, the long coats and the short coats. The Catholics were the long coats. But I've always sort of felt that they just took religion for what they could get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it still seems to me that though there may be surface changes, like the DNA coming on the scene, and a few more churches in the vicinity, and... approximately the same amount of rugs and blanket ware and baskets that they're bringing in for pawn. There still isn't any large basic change
There's
in the Navajo
changes.
Outlook, though, is there?
Their outlook was different years ago. Now they are going through what we hear so much about delinquency among the young Navajo kids. And they're regular little delinquents. But bless their hearts, why wouldn't they be? In the Indian, in Navajo fashion, the mother has always been the head of the household. So this has gone on for years and years and been pretty satisfactory. Then the white man comes along and they say, no, the man is the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
And you're to look to the man for that. And the men aren't ready to assume the responsibility. And the mother feels that she should step back and let the father take the responsibility, because this is the way the white man does it. And the women sort of sit back and depend on the man for the final discipline and so on. So consequently, the kids are getting no correcting at all, or they're not being corrected by the mother or the father or guided, or it's really the kids that are suffering. And this is no fault of theirs, because the parents can't see their way clear to either. They can't go back and they can't go forward. Right now they're just sort of caught in the middle.
That's too bad, isn't it?
But I think their whole social problem, that this is a lot of it.
What's for the kids to do, though?
Oh, that's another sad thing. If they take some of this old money that they're spending on DNA and sell them some swimming pools and bowling alleys and a few things, why, they'd be a whole lot better off.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some of the silliest, most asinine programs in that OENO that ever was. I sat on the board on the OEO board for about 2 years, and then I worked about another 2 years with OENO.
Like what silly programs?
Pardon?
Like what silly programs?
Well, teaching them their crafts, for one. I think that's the silliest one they ever got into.
Teaching them their crafts? What was that?
They were teaching them silversmithing and basket weaving and this sort of thing. And then they would be able to keep, they give them the material to make their first piece, their first article, whether it's a bracelet or whether it's a belt or, oh, that's neat.
Good noon time.
All that.
With delight.
And the people simply took the articles that they had made and took them to trading posts and pawned them and forgot them.
Well, what are you going to do when this present generation stops producing the kinds of goods which they would be bringing to you for pawn or for sale? Who's going to make the silverware and the rugs and the baskets? I gather the children aren't learning to do it.
Some of the schools are going back and are teaching crafts in the schools.
Yeah, but that's all right, you think?
There's a rug weaving project going on and a silversmithing project going on right now. And this is all right. And I didn't have any quarrel with OENO for teaching them to do it. It was the method that they used to do it. This was the thing that upset me. Now, for them to go ahead and teach them their craft, that was fine and dandy. But they glommed it up in the middle there with their method.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with money more than anything else. That
it was another welfare program that the Navajo was sharp enough to use.
Sure. And this is the way most of them have been. Now this home training program that they've been on, I think, is a good program. They've had these trainees working on really practical things. They go to old Grandma Sosie's place and fix it up. And they fix her floor and fix her windows and put some doors up for her and really fix her up comfortable. and even paint and do some of these things. Of course, the people had to furnish the material themselves, so it wasn't a giveaway program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very practical, and I was real proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Crown Point introduced it first, and he turned it down and for a few months and decided that everybody had forgotten that Crown Point introduced it, so then he introduced it, and we've got along real well since.
Isn't, getting back to Pete, isn't he a college graduate from one of the California
yes.
colleges?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think which one.
It's USC or UCLA, somebody told me, I think.
UCLA, I think that's what he told us
what they were. Now, was he appointed to that job with the benediction of the blessing of the tribe, or did he compete for the job? How did he happen to get into that position?
They took applications, and his came out on top.
Who's they now, you mean? The OEO itself?
Yes. Well, the Navajo tribe asked for applications.
The tribe, yeah.
And, so they screened them, the advisory committee screened them, and when they decided on Pete, then they put it before the chairman and the whole council body, whether or not he would be chosen. And he did have to compete for it. I don't think he had too much competition. Pete Sharp.
No doubt about it.
What's his name? Sure.
McDonald. And he can be very, very pleasant.
Well, I tell you, I had the feeling that he wanted to be very pleasant. But darn it all, we had tried for 2 months to get hold of the guy and to set up an appointment and just couldn't do it, and he'd never call us back.
And he never does.
So I figured I'd take a bull by the horns, and when I was out there, I just marched into his office. Mud on my feet up to my ankles, I think. It was one of those days, you know. And I walked across that carpet and I saw him looking at my footprints, which must have been, you know, pretty bad behind me. And I think he felt that I had I had taken the wrong turn or something. And we had a pleasant chat, but he wasn't really sure that I was legitimate in the first place. And
well, really, we have had a lot of people.
A lot of people go out there, I'm sure,
uh-huh.
and doing exactly what I did. And I understand that now there is a bill that the council is working on, which will, if it's passed, prevent people from coming onto the reservation for the purposes of interviewing Indians without a specific passport
mm-hmm.
of some kind.
Is that good?
Yes.
Is it?
I suppose it is.
It'll be good for us because we don't know. Now, I probably would not have spent, I'd have not spent any time with them if it hadn't been for you, because I have answered questions for people for this same reason. I don't know how many times, and sometimes they're legitimate, sometimes they're not.
That's the same thing that Howard said in his own way. He didn't come right out and say that, but we went out there. Robbie and I went out together, and I've been around Colorado Indians enough to know what the score is. And he just about said in so many words that if it hadn't been for your dad and
yeah,
you,
he did.
That
he
wouldn't spend any time with, uh-huh. with me either. But
now
he's interested. If it
uh-huh.
wasn't for this darn money hang-up, and I think there's going to be a way around that somehow, but he's really interested in participating.
Oh, he can give you, just...
But he's tied up now. I don't know whether I told you this, but the Rough Rock people that he's presently taping for are trying to write children's stories.
Oh, isn't that great?
And that's why they're so interested in all his stories, because so much of that is easily made into a marvelous history for the kids, and it teaches them something of their culture and their
mm-hmm.
legends at the same time.
Well, this was my objection.
But they have too many, you see. We're all trying to do the same thing, and now I gather the project that the ONEO is running and has just volumes of material. Have you ever seen Carl Gorman's little office up there in the trailer?
No.
He's that whole trailer. The that